NASA shuffles the STS-122 schedule due to crew illness. A disturbed woman with a knife tries to hijack a plane. And Lockheed says turbofan trouble won't delay the F-35. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, February 11th, 2008. The STS-122 crew entered the International Space Station for the first time Saturday afternoon, kicking off what will now be a 10-day visit. The shuttle Atlantis and its crew are delivering the European Space Agency's Columbus Laboratory and a new crew member. Plans to install Columbus to the station on Sunday, however, were delayed due to a reported illness, unofficially thought to be ESA astronaut Hans Schlegel. Astronaut Stan Love will take his place for Monday's spacewalk, and NASA says the delay will have no impact to the overall mission objectives. Prior to Saturday's docking, the orbiter executed a backflip so that cameras on the station could detect any potential damage to the underside of the orbiter's heat shield. Reuters reports a small tear was found in a thermal blanket. Engineers will decide whether repairs are needed. A 33-year-old woman is in custody, charged with attempting to hijack a New Zealand commuter flight early Friday and stabbing the aircraft's two pilots. Australia's Herald Sun newspaper reports Somali refugee Asha Ali Abdili also faces three counts of assault. The incident happened on board an Air National Jetstream 32 regional turboprop flying from Blenheim to Christchurch. The woman apparently attacked the pilots near the end of the short flight and demanded to be flown to Australia. Prosecutors say Abdili stabbed both pilots with a knife and claimed to also have a bomb. The pilots were able to land the small plane safely in Christchurch, despite their injuries and the woman's repeated attempts to grapple with the controls. One of the pilots had to have surgery for severe lacerations to his hand, while his co-pilot was treated and released from a local hospital for injuries to his foot. Two of the eight passengers on board also received injuries. Abdili reportedly has a history of past conflict with authorities, dating back to her arrival in New Zealand in 1994 as a 19-year-old refugee. New Zealand only screens passengers and carry-on bags on domestic flights with over 90 passengers. That policy will reportedly get a review after Friday's incident. A cracked turbine blade in a Pratt & Whitney F-135 turbofan has renewed a debate over whether it should remain the only engine choice for the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports the crack was discovered last Monday following ground tests. The engine is slated for installation in the first short takeoff vertical landing F-35B within the next month. Pratt & Whitney VP Bill Gostick tells the paper engineers think the problem is isolated to a drive shaft from the turbine, connected to a large downward-facing ducted fan used to provide vertical flight on takeoff and landing. The drive shaft places additional stress on the turbine disc and blades. Quote, "It's not a new issue. It's disappointing we didn't notice it until the part cracked," unquote. A fix has been underway since related problems were detected last year. Lockheed Martin says the program's overall timetable won't be affected since the short takeoff vertical landing capabilities won't be tested until after conventional flight regimens have been tested. Just last week, for the third year in a row, funding for development of an alternative engine, the General Electric Rolls-Royce F-136, was struck from President Bush's fiscal 2009 budget. In both of the last 2 years, that funding was restored by Congress. Investigators have visited the scene of a plane crash in western Oregon that claimed the lives of three men Friday morning. The FAA says the home-built four-place Lance Air ES took off from Salem, Oregon at 9:55 a.m. Pacific Time on an IFR flight plan to Klamath Falls. Air traffic controllers saw the plane disappear from radar about 20 minutes later at 13,000 feet. Witnesses said they saw the aircraft in a spin out of control as it fell toward a field near Albany, Oregon. Linn County Sheriff Tim Mueller told the Associated Press, quote, "There's no indication that it tried to land or skidded. It looks like it just hit where it hit," unquote. Late Friday, the sheriff's office identified the victims as 49-year-old Jay Lamb, 36-year-old Stephen Teeny, and 32-year-old Riley Bunn. Lamb was the plane's owner. Relatives told local media he was flying the men to Utah for a bow hunting trip. Up next on ANN, Boeing may step up 737 production. Airbus raises its forecast for airliner demand. And a U.S. Army warrant officer is charged with looting Egyptian artifacts. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 11th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Whatever damage Dreamliner development delays have done to Boeing's bottom line has been eased by the brisk pace at which its venerable 737 family continues to sell. Last week, Boeing Commercial Airplanes CEO Scott Carson said more new orders from domestic airlines could create enough backlog to justify increasing 737 production. During a conference call with investors last month, Boeing CEO Jim McNerney said the company has, quote, been in extended discussions with a couple of the major carriers who have not participated in this order cycle. It wouldn't surprise me if a couple deals with these folks come to fruition in 08, unquote. Industry analysts think he's talking about American and Delta, both of which need to replace their fleets of McDonnell Douglas MD-80s with more efficient aircraft to cope with rising fuel costs. And if Delta merges with Northwest Airlines, the combined carrier may move quickly to replace Northwest's ancient DC-9s. Analyst Scott Hamilton says Boeing could turn out as many as 40 737s per month, up from its current level of 32, if its supply chain could keep up. Observers say Boeing will tread carefully to avoid being stuck with a surplus of planes in a recession. Airbus remains bullish on the airline industry's long-term prospects. On Thursday, the European plane maker released its updated 20-year global market forecast, indicating a demand for 24,300 new passenger and freighter aircraft through 2026. That's up almost 1,600 planes from the plane maker's 2007 forecast and represents a $2.8 trillion market to be divided up among Airbus, Boeing, and other current and future plane makers. That works out to an average annual delivery rate of 1,215 aircraft, up from last year's forecast of 1,130 average annual deliveries. Airbus expects demands for more fuel and environmentally efficient airliners and an average growth rate of 4.9% per year to lead to that increased demand. Officials say U.S. Army Chief Warrant Officer Edward George Johnson didn't stay in Egypt very long, but he made the most of his time there. Johnson is charged with selling 90 artifacts stolen from a museum in Cairo. The New York Times reports the 44-year-old Johnson was deployed in Cairo from February to October of 2002, flying Army attack and scout helicopters. The items he's accused of selling date back as far as 3000 B.C. or earlier, and are among 370 items stolen from Cairo's Ma'adi Museum in September of that year. The items were recovered from an archaeological site in the 1920s and 1930s. Authorities say Johnson contacted an art dealer in Texas in January 2003 with an offer to sell a collection of Egyptian antiques. He allegedly told the dealer his grandfather had acquired the artifacts while working for a mineral company in Egypt in the 1930s and 1940s. The dealer agreed to purchase them and sent Johnson four checks totaling about $20,000. The dealer then resold them on consignment to galleries in New York, London, Zurich, and Montreal. Johnson was arrested last week on Tuesday in Enterprise, Alabama, on charges of transportation of stolen property and wire fraud. The Fayetteville Observer reports he faces up to 15 years in prison. The National Transportation Safety Board says a Cessna 182, which crashed near Kalispell, Montana last May 12th, was over gross weight and barely within its CG envelope at the time of the accident. In its updated factual report, NTSB notes that there were no apparent structural or mechanical issues with the 182 and doesn't actually blame a weight or CG issue for the crash, which killed the pilot and four skydivers on board. Investigators also found the engine's oil filler cap unattached, although it's unknown whether that condition was a result of the crash. Witnesses told the NTSB the plane was returning to the runway when its left wing dipped and the plane hit the ground. Still ahead, the Atlas V booster will continue to have a future. A march ceremony will honor the WASPs of World War II. And two California teens celebrate Black History Month with ambitious aviation plans. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, February 18th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. NASA is coming under fire for its Ares 1 rocket project, intended to be NASA's primary manned launch vehicle after the space shuttle fleet retires in 2010. Critics cite inadequate funding and technical problems among the reasons to opt for using the older but proven Atlas V-401 instead. That opinion received a boost last week, if you'll excuse the pun, with an announcement that the private space company Bigelow Aerospace plans to use the Atlas to launch its inflatable space station modules. As ANN reported, the company plans to launch 12 manned and unmanned flights starting in 2012, first sending segments of an inflatable hotel into orbit, then following with manned capsules carrying paying customers. Last week, company founder Robert Bigelow remarked, quote, "I don't think anyone could deny the excellent record and pedigree of the Atlas V-401 as a quality choice to be upgraded to carry human passengers," unquote. The Orlando Sentinel reports NASA says the Atlas is unsafe for modification. Lockheed Martin, however, manufacturer of the Atlas, says it could be fitted with necessary safety items and other modifications needed for manned spaceflight relatively inexpensively. NASA Administrator Michael Griffin has said before he welcomes private enterprises interested in developing economical ways to place humans in orbit. If such programs come online, he said, that would allow NASA to focus solely on reaching the moon. Women in Uniform will be celebrated on Saturday, March 8th at the International Women's Air and Space Museum in Cleveland, Ohio. The museum will celebrate Women's History Month with a day of activities saluting women aviators in uniform, from the women Air Force service pilots of World War II, also known as WASPs, to today's heroes. Several WASPs will be on hand to share their experiences during World War II with guests. Sarah Byrne Rickman, author of the new book Nancy Love and the WASP Ferry Pilots of World War II, will speak about the program that included 1,102 women serving as civilian pilots in the Army Air Force. Guests can become a WASP through a new game developed by the museum for Family Day. The museum will also officially unveil a tribute to the 38 WASPs who lost their lives in service to the country during World War II. Also scheduled is a special presentation to the museum by NASA officials of an International Women's Air and Space Museum patch that flew on the shuttle Discovery in 2007 with Pam Melroy, retired Air Force colonel. The museum is in the Burke Lakefront Airport Terminal Building on North Marginal Road in Cleveland. Museum admission is free and exhibits are open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily. Young people at Tomorrow's Aeronautical Museum in Compton, California, celebrated Black History Month recently by making plans to set new aviation world records. 16-year-old Kelly Anyadiki plans to become the youngest African-American woman to solo 7 airplanes on the same day. And 16-year-old Jonathan Strickland will solo 7 airplanes and 2 helicopters in tribute to the Tuskegee Airmen. The attempts are scheduled at Compton Woodley Airport on March 15th. Museum founder Robin Petgrave explained, quote, "The kids want to tell the world that the heritage of the Tuskegee Airmen is alive and well in a new generation. These new world records the kids will set are an example of where the past meets the present and the future," unquote. At age 14, Jonathan Strickland became the youngest African-American to fly solo in a Robinson R-22 helicopter and a Cessna 152 on the same day. He also holds records for the youngest African-American to fly a helicopter internationally and to fly a helicopter on an international round trip. The museum offers aviation-themed after-school programs for more than 800 kids from grades K through 12. Kids can take part in projects ranging from washing airplanes to graffiti mitigation. Instead of earning money, kids earn museum bucks, which they can apply toward flight instruction. The museum plans to open additional locations across the country, including Newport News, Virginia, and San Bernardino, California. The effort is being supported by the Organization of Black Airline Pilots and the Tuskegee Airmen. And finally, Germany's historic Tempelhof Airport faces a crossroad. Berlin city leaders are proceeding on a course to close the city's historic downtown airport as soon as this October 31st. As ANN reported, the Berlin government, under Mayor Klaus Wowereit, secured court approval in December to do away with Tempelhof and the city's other airport, Tegel, and consolidate airline operations at Berlin's Schönefeld Airport, which would be enlarged and renamed Berlin-Brandenburg International. Tempelhof was built in 1923 and became world famous for its role in the Berlin airlift of 1948 and 49. It served as a U.S. Air Force base until 1993. In the past few years, it's been a money-losing business airport. The mayor wants to either turn it into a park or flood it and turn it into a lake. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association is trying to save the airport by invoking memories of Chicago Mayor Richard Daley's bulldozing of Meigs Field in March of 2003. Which is, of course, a ridiculous comparison. After all, if Tempelhof closes, it will be done legally after an open public process. The planes based there will have a chance to leave, and they'll issue a notice to airmen. None of that happened in Chicago. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about why training just to pass the FAA practical test is like setting a goal to graduate high school with a D average. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.